Hi.
Hi.
Speak into your microphone like it's a penis.
Okay. What?
What? Just kidding. Who are you?
Are we looking for a name or who
can do
I am?
Anything you want.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking about that. Retired military, one. Retired Silicon Valley, two. Third thing is a ceramic archaeologist. Just throw in three trips to Vietnam.
A man with a bindi on his head and a Bigfoot Lives sticker is telling me that he's been to Vietnam three times?
That's right. And that's why I'm walking around like this with this little
What'd they do
cane.
To you in Vietnam? They took away your knee?
Well, just a small, you know, small action. I'm good.
What does that mean, small action? That's such a military thing to say. Oh, it's like a small thing where they blew out my knee. It's just like a insurgent. No big deal.
All right. Next question.
What is a ranger? I don't know.
Well, in the service, it's a very special group, right, that does the things that need to get done. You got snipers, you got all kinds of little small groups that go in before everybody else set things up. Well, I don't know if I'm a killer.
If I have to say, have you killed more than 15 people?
No.
More than 10?
Well, I might have. I would say that.
You don't know.
If they happen to step on what I put out there, they're gone.
How do you know you're not going to make yourself explode?
I'll tell you what. You do it very carefully because you're carrying that stuff around with you. You know, you got all these little capsules and stuff like that. So that's what the Rangers are. I actually putting a book together, and I'm going to tell what happened.
So you can't tell me.
No.
Tell me how you got here. What was the process?
Well, so I am the artist, and I have a studio. This is like a Saturday, and I opened the studio up, and a few people came. About 4:30, I thought, I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to close up. And just then, these two people walked in. And they walked over to me. And they said, have you been to Burning Man? I thought, what the hell is Burning Man?
How old were you at the time?
Well, this is about 7 or 8 years ago.
I have no idea. You could be any age.
I was just 80. So I could be one of the oldest guys out here.
You are not 80.
I am.
You were born during the Great Depression?
Yeah.
Where?
Yes, I was. Well, Pullman, Washington.
What was Washington like in the Depression?
God. Well, my dad had a garage, and actually, I grew up in a garage family. What does that mean? That means that everybody works in the garage. So when I got of a certain age, I worked on my mother's part. That was cleaning the toilets and great.
You're the best looking relic I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
should I call you like Australopithecus or like, what, are you Lucy?
Okay, so these people described pretty much, you know, the boats at nighttime and all those things, and I said to myself, I'm going. And I had a couple other guys that said, oh my God, can we come with you?
And how old are those guys?
Oh, they were, you know, 40, 50. What happened was, it's time to go, and we're out there, and these guys are no-shows. So Brenda goes like, what are you gonna do? And I went, I am going alone.
You are, you know why you knew how you could go alone? Because you're the kind of guy that can carry explosives on his back.
It's kind of fun.
What's the biggest gun you ever used?
Biggest gun I ever used. Probably an 81 mortar and a little bit higher. I'm using
like a firework? What the fuck is that?
81's got a lot of power too. What you got to find is you got to find a target out there, right? Normally, as a ranger going in, you're going to go in real quiet, like nothing happened.
So do you crawl in your belly through swamps with a knife between your teeth like in the movies?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, so out there, what they do, this is like when you're just getting started, right?
Yeah.
Training. They drop the food to you.
They drop the food through a parachute?
No, they have a helicopter.
Sorry, are we in Nam now?
No, we're getting ready to go. So what you get is you get what's out there, right? Like, I remember we got a big drop of rattlesnakes. Well, that was the food, right? So it's like, I'm there, I'm going like, what the hell is this? What they're doing is they're getting you trained out there because you're not going to get any food from the military. You're going to have to do your own, right? So you're down there with your bayonet or whatever it is. Open that baby up, everybody gets around kind of like in a circle.
And the things go,
you better believe it. Actually, in Vietnam, on Thanksgiving, and I get a call in, said, hey, Pike, we got Thanksgiving dinner for you. And I go like, are you kidding me? And so I'm down there with the troops, right? And they drop a turkey out from a helicopter. That's a game, right? I mean, hey,
they wouldn't give you a dead turkey for Thanksgiving. You had to kill your own turkey.
Well, it's kind of neat, actually. The turkey did fly a little bit until, you know.
Until you got him.
Yeah, until we got him.
This is part of your training. You were how old at this time?
Oh, hell, I was probably 25, 26.
25, yeah. Okay, so you know how to handle a live turkey, live rattlesnakes, shoot mortars, and set live booby traps.
Pretty good at it, actually.
So you don't know how many people you've killed. You've no clue.
Well, yeah.
How many booby traps did you lay?
I would say, I don't know. I would say between probably 20 and 30 in there. That's not a lot.
Okay.
But pretty
so you killed 30
pretty,
people.
Well, I don't know. I did hear some explosions.
All right. And do you have any bad dreams or any kind of feelings of sadness, or do you just sort of part of the job?
No. I think you've got it. There's definitely a feeling component to that kind of thing. You don't get off scot-free. But because Vietnam, right? Body count, that's the way we sort of measured the war, right? By how many bodies? Well, when you say body count, you really think of maybe soldiers and all that stuff. Body count's anybody. It could be a child, it could be a woman, it could be a farmer, whatever. So that's kind of the sad part about it. And that was a lot of what happened, actually.
Do you know what the body count was? Hundreds of thousands? Believe in the ideology around the war, or were you just sort of doing your job?
Hey, I'm doing my job.
Doing your job. And do you think sort of what's going on now in the political climate, that's sort of what American soldiers are dealing with, is ideology maybe they don't know or understand, but they're just doing their job?
They're still doing the job. You put your life at stake out there, and that's the thing that makes it real. And these young kids, right, out doing this stuff, and the impact of it.
Did Burning Man help you with any of that stuff?
I think for me, it's like kind of putting yourself back together again.
Oof.
I think Burning Man is like regaining and putting things together and talking to people and stuff. When you do this, you don't go around talking about it.
Right.
And you don't talk. You leave the army, and you don't talk about it. So, became a civilian, and Silicon Valley loved it. Technology.
What did you do for Silicon Valley?
Basically went into what's called organizational effectiveness. So it's like getting with a unit or a company and finding out where they want to go, and to get there, who needs to leave. The getting rid of is somebody else's job, right? I would just say, hey, here's three guys that you don't need to take these guys to get there. In fact, they're going to screw you up.
Can I have you for like my boyfriends or my friends? Can I have you come in and just clean out my fucking house? Maybe my family, just like which of the family I need and which I don't?
Composition C4.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's a great explosive. You can take them out and nobody will even know what happened.
So tell me, as a military person, when you first came here, this actually has a lot of influences of military, right?
It does.
There's a lot of military.
It does have a little bit of military.
It's hot. It's uncomfortable. You're shitting in buckets. You don't know what the fuck is happening. You're with people you don't like, but you have to get along with.
Well, there's a lot, and then there's a lot that's not military. But I think the love, right, the feeling about people. I came to Hushville, and I look around, and here's this woman in a wheelchair, and I thought, older woman too, and I thought, my God, what is she doing here? So everybody had to help her set her tent up, right? The next morning, she came over in her wheelchair with three big tomatoes and said, I'd like to give you these tomatoes, right, for breakfast. And I thought, oh my God. So she's like,
is that an equivalent to setting up a tent? Is that what the barter system is? Three tomatoes for a tent setup?
Yeah.
I might want some caprese, honestly. I don't know if three tomatoes is enough for me.
That was the best, I think, those tomatoes, right?
Oh, I'm a flyer.
Yeah.
They taste so sweet.
Oh my God. And the woman, I think her, and actually we've seen her since, she always knows our name. And every time we see her, she sings, she does poetry, she does all kinds of things.
My mother is here, she's 73. All of her friends have Alzheimer's, cancer, breast cancer. Just one had a triple bypass yesterday. And these are healthy, DC, political, well, working out, whatever people. And my mother, when I brought her here 3 years ago, she turned to me and she said, I thought that I had no more adventures left. And now I know that I have something to live for.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm so honored and grateful to anybody who has the courage to come out here, because it's not easy here for the body. You know, I'm 33. I've been coming here since I was 26. And at 26, I was just a mess. I mean, my lungs and my tits were like sprouting mushrooms. I was like, what the fuck is happening to me? And at 80 years old, you are rocking around with one small cane just killing life?
Well, yeah.
People should be ashamed of themselves sitting up watching Netflix, dying slowly.
And
so you started coming here, sorry, how many years ago? Seven.
7 years ago. I had to skip a year because I got plague lung pneumonia.
And you came back?
Yeah, I bet on my way back.
No, you got a death wish, bro. I'm impressed.
No, well, let's see.
Can you tell young people at home who are afraid to come here, who are thinking like, I like to be clean, I like order, I like my Google Calendar. Can you tell them what is good about coming here at any age?
Oh, well, I think, first of all, the best thing about coming here is just what's happening now is actually talking to people who talk back.
Who will look at you in the eyes.
Who will look you in the eye. Will tell you the pretty much nobody's pulling any bullshit. You get the truth out of folks.
When you think about now, politically, what do you think about where the U.S. is now?
Are you worried.
Proud of us?
Well,
I mean, you fought for something, right?
Yeah,
you fought to maintain an idea.
Well, I know what's going on, of course, and there's still people out there fighting, right? And
yeah.
Afghanistan's opening up again. I feel for those guys, you know, that are out there because some of them are not going to come back. There's no way you can protect them. And they're going to do the job. They're going to keep doing it.
What is the job? What does it mean, the job?
The job is, hey, what's the mission? I would say in Afghanistan, right, you're trying to, the Taliban, right, is eliminate Taliban wherever you can.
ISIS? What are we doing about it? Is ISIS there? I don't know.
There could be some ISIS in there. Do you
like Trump? Are you a Trump guy?
No.
And who did you vote for?
I voted for Hillary.
And as a military guy, I mean, I know a lot of people have problems with Hillary. Where we're standing now with increasing the military budget, maybe you're okay with, but how are you feeling about the job he's done so far as our president, as our great golden orange cap in the sky?
My God.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I feel good. It's a lot of little things, right, trying to put those together. And you're touching some really you're going to have me crying.
I'm ready to cry with you all
Yeah,
day.
Because I'm... He kind of put me back in the foxhole.
I don't want to do that.
You know, when you get it, it takes a long time to get over that stuff. But I do have the story that I'm going to tell is going to be a good one. And I'm not going to lie, I'm going to tell it like it was. And I know it hasn't happened yet. And I keep looking for it. I think somebody has got to tell the real story. And Me Lai was just, that's one of a number.
You're telling the real story of Vietnam.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear
I think that. I mean, I think that's what's going
to
happen.
I
hope it does.
Well, boys, let me escort you over to the photo booth.
Are we going in?
Come on in.
Okay.
Come.
So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm going to get my share now. What's mine?
Thank you, as always, to this amazing man for sharing his life with me. I wish I could describe for you how unbelievably young he looked. He was jovial, red-faced, and full of a kind of energy that I very rarely find in octogenarians. The actual total body count for the Vietnam War was 1.1 million, so I think he was a little bit off in his estimates. As always, it's not my place to judge where people have come from, but it is always amazing to me to hear sort of life paths that people go on. Anyway, I am on schedule once again. It is Thursday, and I am really proud of myself, to be honest. You can expect to hear one story from me every Thursday until I get married, have children, and make a lot of money. Well, that will never happen, so tune in every Thursday. Or maybe until I get like a Scrooge McDuck vault of gold coins and rubies and diamonds and just do backstrokes through them all day. So I don't have time to make podcasts. I'm too busy counting my Jew gold. And as always, don't forget to follow me on my Instagram at Dr. Z Nightingale, on my Twitter at Generally False. I have a website that is www.zoenightingale.com. I'm throwing a fundraiser this October 13th at 8 p.m. at the Marcy North. I am doing this hurricane disaster relief party in conjunction with Artha, which is an amazing collection of young artists who are being mentored sort of along their way from the beginning up, with my friend Nicole Grammatico, that is one of the best in the business. I have pretty famous comedians coming, actually, whose names I can't mention due to their contracts. I have a live art auction, which I'll be posting on my social media. You too can bid on the artists from Artha and some of the local New York and Brooklyn hotspots that I've gotten to contribute, spa packages and restaurant packages and all kinds of fun stuff. So if you are in town, it's a $20 donation at the door. Come dance with us, get drunk with us, and watch me do stand-up. And also, I'll be live emceeing the auction and trying to do that. One, two, three, four, five, six, that thing. I'm going to try to do that. I'm learning this week. It is gorgeous here in New York. Leaves are changing. Fall is coming. Get your sweater vests out and your knee socks up because it's going to be chilly, kids. Halloween is around the corner. Don't forget my rules about Halloween. Safety last, and always remember to take candy from strangers. I hope wherever you are in the world that you are happy and being hugged and loved as much as I am. Sending you all my love, guys.
After 15 minutes with you, my life has been transformed.
Ah!
I love your brain, your spontaneity, and your flow. Woo-hoo, you are something. You've made me feel wonderful.